Take your Bibles. Let's go to Psalms 121. The Lord laid this on my heart before we left to go to the mountains and did some research, and I landed on this psalm right here. This psalm is, Bible scholars believe that Hezekiah wrote this psalm when the Assyrian army was threatening Judah and Jerusalem. So here we see Hezekiah with a backdrop here awaiting the onslaught of the Assyrian army, not knowing what was going to happen. Of course, we know what happened, but he didn't know. And so the situation seemed desperate. The situation for him and Israel seemed hopeless. And by the way, this same song, Bible scholars tell us, is a psalm that the Jews sing repeatedly when in their history, when the situation was dark and the future was bleak. They would recite verse 8 of Psalms 121, verse 8. The Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in from this time forth and even forevermore. Let's stand as we read the text this morning in honor of God's word. And we're going to begin in verse 1 of Psalms 121. I will lift mine eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. He will not suffer thy foot to be moved. He that keepeth thee will not slumber. Behold, he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is my keeper. The Lord is my shade upon the right hand. The sun shall not smite thee by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. He shall preserve thy soul. The Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in from this time forth, and even forevermore. Father, this morning we pray you teach us from your word. Give us enlightenment, give us understanding to this text as we share the backdrop and the background and make application to us today. And so, Lord, we just pray that we'll be able to apply the truths that we hear today, and we pray that you seal them to our heart, and that we may trust in you and you alone. And we ask these things in the name of Jesus. Amen. You may be seated. We need to realize two truths today, two great truths, when we're in a situation where it seems dark and it seems bleak. And if I were to ask you today, how many of you ever been in those kind of situations, everybody here would raise their hand. You didn't see the way out. You didn't see how God was going to work this out for your benefit, for his glory, and for your good. It seemed bleak and dark. First of all, number one, notice what Hezekiah did. He realized, number one, that the Lord is my king in verses 1 and 2. News had come to him that the Assyrian army was headed to Jerusalem. So what did Hezekiah do? Well, he fretted. He talked to everybody else. He packed up and went on a mountaintop. No, he didn't do that. He turned to the Lord. He realized that the Lord was his king. And I'm telling you, in the days we're living in, and I believe the rapture of the church could happen at any moment. There's nothing that needs to be fulfilled. This world is in a mess, right? And I don't watch as much news as I used to watch because it's so depressing. But I'm telling you, our only hope is the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ and realizing that God is in control. God and his providential sovereignty is working out things for end time events. So sometimes it seems bleak, sometimes it seems dark. But number one, we got to realize that the Lord is my king. Now, what did Hezekiah do? Well, you see on the screen there, number one, he looked to the inspiring hills. We see that in verse one. I will lift mine eyes up to the hills from whence cometh my help. Now, when we, like y'all went to the mountains, were the leaves changing while y'all were there? You know, ours weren't either, but I guess it was just our imagination. We thought they were changing while we were there, but we looked out. We had a beautiful view off of our cabin, as well as y'all did. And you know, amazing what God has done in creation and done for our beauty. But notice what Hezekiah did here. He looked to the inspiring hills. See it in verse 1, I will lift my eyes unto the hills. I thought about that a minute. Exactly when were the mountains created? And I began to do a little research here. Creationists believe have two different views. Number one, they believe, some believe it was on the third day of creation, according to Genesis 1, 9 and 10. Now, other creationists believe it happened in the flood. But what I want you to do with me is to turn to Psalms 104, verse 5, and we'll see what God's word says about it. He answers it for us in Psalms 104, verse 5 through 8. I wanted to share this with you before we get into really what we're going to talk about. When were the mountains created? Psalms 104, verse 5. Who laid the foundations of the earth? Now, this is a creation text. Who laid the foundations of the earth that it should not be removed forever? Thou coverest it with the deep as with a garment. The waters stood above the mountains. At thy rebuke they fled, and at thy voice they thundered. They hastened away. Now, you remember, even before creation day number one, there was a water that covered the earth. And that could be what he's talking about here. But look what he says in verse 7. The water stood above the mountains, and they rebuked thy they fled, and at the voice of thunder they hastened away. Now notice verse 8. They go up by the mountains. They go down the valleys unto the place thou hast founded for them. So he set them boundaries. But he says here in this text here that the waters stood above the mountains. So the mountains were here, right? They were not billions of years, as evolutionists tell us were. God created the mountains. Whether it was before creation day number one, the water that covered the earth, or whether it was on the third day, God created the mountains. Don't let any kind of evolutionist tell you that it took billions of years to look out there over out of your cabin and see that mountain that you're looking at. God did it in his creation. Now go back to our text in Psalms 121, if you will. Now, when we saw when the mountains were formed, but the psalmist here, he says, I lift my eyes unto the hills. There was no hope in the hills. The rest of the text tells us what he's talking about. He says, from whence cometh my help? The Lord cometh, my help cometh from the Lord, which created the heaven and the earth. So he looked past the hills to the one who created the hills. You get that? And because there was a time in Israel's history when there was a lot of bad things happened to him that came from the hills. Okay? But he looked past the hill. We got to look past the problem to our Creator who's created all this. And so he says that's where his help would come from. The psalmist lifted his eyes past the hills to see his sufficient helper, the Creator. It would be a sad time to go out around the world and look at the beauty that God has created and just focus alone just on that beauty that he's created. We need to look past that to the one who created it, right, Brother Marcus? And he created that, and this is what he's saying right here. So he looked to the inspiring hills. He looked to his Creator. In verse 2, he looked to his sufficient helper. My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. I just want to read one text to you here. It's found in Isaiah chapter 40, verse 9. O Zion, thou bringest good tidings. Go thee into the high mountains, O Jerusalem. Can somebody go get Miss Hodges a glass of water, a little cup of water? Can somebody go do that? We don't want you to die in our presence, okay? All right, okay. All right. Well, Amy's going to get it. She'll take care of you 24/7. O Zion, that bringest good tidings, and go thee into the high mountain, O Jerusalem. Thou bringest good tidings. Lift up thy voice with strength. Lift it up. Be not afraid. Say unto the cities, Judah, behold your God. Behold, the Lord God will come with a strong hand, and his arm shall rule for him. Behold, his reward is with him, and his work before him. He shall feed his flock like a shepherd. He shall gather the lambs with his arms and carry them into the bosom, and shall gently lead them, those that are with young. He hath measured the waters in the hollow of his hand, meted out heaven and the span, and comprehended the dust of the earth with a measure, and weighed the mountains in scales, and the hills in a balance. So the Lord is my king. Hezekiah realized that whatever happens with the Assyrian army, Hezekiah knew, and we need to know that the Lord is our king. We trust in his providence. We trust in his sovereignty. It's his world, and he's going to run it like he wants to. Amen? And so we need to trust him. But the second thing that Hezekiah realized here, the Lord is my keeper. In verses 3 through 8, the Lord is able to take care of every problem. In fact, It's repeated 6 times in verses 3 through 8 that the Lord is our sufficient helper. He's our keeper. And he can help us, number one, when, if you look on the screen, in verses 3 and 4, we are weary. Is there anybody here that does not grow weary, right? I go weary all the time. I wasn't feeling too good this morning. And I wasn't feeling too good even before I got up to preach. I don't know what it is. I think it's that coconut pie that I ate last night. Faye made Tim Hampton a coconut pie for helping feed our dogs and cats. And I told him secretly when I got back I didn't want to see any of them. But she made him a pie, and I asked her, I said, you know, who's that pie for? And she said Tim. I thought she said me or something other. So when she went to bed, I got a slice of that pie, and I'd paid for it in 2 ways this morning. Not only from the effects of my sugar diabetes, but also I got a lecture this morning about eating that slice of pie. And I apologize to her because, I'll get to that in just a moment. We slip too, okay? But God can help us when we're weary. Look in verse 3 and 4. He will not suffer thy foot to be moved. He that keepeth thee will not slumber. Behold, he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber or sleep. So he tells us here that he's going to help us when we're weary. Verse 3a tells us the Lord knows how easy it is for us to slip. And the psalmist hopes that God will not allow the king to slip as the Assyrian army approaches, but would take a bold stand against the Assyrian army. And we all know how easy it is to slip in our commitments to God. All of us slip. We promise God something, maybe in regards to our relationship with him or Jesus, or we make a strong commitment to his church or to the people of God that we identify with. And then next thing you know, we slip. We're prone to wonder, aren't we? We're prone to slip. And sometimes we have second thoughts. And I thought about that on a second thought. I thought about that. What are second thoughts? Well, I think that second thoughts, we know, number one, second thoughts are not always right. Okay? We know, number two, that our cautious side, as we begin to think about it some more, our cautious side comes out in second thoughts. Like, wait a minute, you know, should I really do that? Should I really do this? But this is going to happen. Are y'all like me? When you decide and make your choices, you lay it all out there and you look at all the scenarios and what's going to happen with each choice, right? And can I let you in on a little secret? It usually doesn't happen like that, right? But second thoughts, we all have second thoughts, and we all slip. God knows how easy it is for us to slip. And then verses 3 through 4, also the Lord knows how easy it is for us to sleep. You know, we go to sleep on the Lord many times, don't we? We need to be waked up. We need to be shaken. Look in verse 3 and 4 again. He will not suffer thy foot to be moved that keepeth thee, will not slumber. Now, we know God's a spirit, okay? God is not human. He's a spirit, okay? He manifests himself in different ways. He manifested, you know, Jesus Christ was a spirit before he left creation. He became a human. He had a body. And that's the same Jesus we're going to see when we get to heaven. We're going to see the Jesus that came down and died on the cross. Okay? But God is not when the Bible talks about slumber, hand, arm of the Lord, the eye of the Lord, it's talking to him about ways that we can understand him and identify with him. Because the Bible tells us in John that God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in truth and in spirit. So the psalmist says here that it's going to be easy for us to sleep. Hezekiah and the soldiers would have to stay awake, waiting for the Assyrian army, not knowing exactly when they would come. And not only would they slip, but they begin to become weary and sleep. And this is why the Holy Spirit tells us that God does not sleep and God does not slumber. God is always, always aware of his creation. He's aware of what's going on in his creation. And he's aware of, he's ordained it all. You know, nothing takes God by surprise. And when we go to sleep, there's many things that happen while we're asleep we don't know about. We have to catch up on them when we wake up. But God is always alert. You need to know that today in this dark world we're living today. God is aware of what's going on. And he does not slumber. That's just why the Holy Spirit uses that language, because it would have been easy for Hezekiah and the armies to sleep and to slumber. He does not sleep. He's alert. He does not slip. He does not sleep in weariness. So not only is he our helper in verses 3 and 4 when we are weary, but he's also our helper when we are weak in verses 5 and 6. The Lord is thy keeper. The Lord is thy shade upon thy right hand. The sun shall not smite thee by day, nor the moon by night. So in verse 5 tells us that we are vulnerable in all sides, just like the army of Hezekiah would be vulnerable to attack from every avenue as the Assyrians came along. And note that word right hand. He's on the right hand. The right hand is the sword hand of the Jews. So the psalmist here is speaking of God taking up his stand on his right hand, and he's going to be his protector, and he's going to do his fighting for him. So our weakness is often offset by God's strength. Now, the flesh is weak, isn't it? And we are weak. We are a weak people. And sheep that need a shepherd, sheep that need to be led. We are just weak people. And we can't depend upon our own self. We depend upon his strength. We depend upon his stand on our right hand. And we never know when the attack is going to come from, right? Well, life might be going easy for you, and all of a sudden you get word there's an attack. It may come from your friends. It may come from your family, your own family. It may come from your enemies. You know, you can expect your enemies to attack, right? But family and friends. And so God will protect us in these times when they come. And also, sometimes the devil, he knows where to attack us at. He knows where our goat is tied, as one preacher used to say. He knows how to get my goat, I can tell you. He gets my goat about every week. And he knows our weaknesses, and he knows our strengths. And as we look in Scripture, we see Elijah. His strong point was his courage, yet he fled from Jezebel. We see Moses. He was a man of meekness, yet he lost his temper and struck the rock twice. So sometimes we are attacked in our strengths. Sometimes we're attacked in our weaknesses. And Abraham, you remember the story of Abraham? Abraham's strength was his faith. And we talk about him, the father of faith. But yet he went down to Egypt in unbelief. We see that in Genesis 12:10 through 13 too. So the enemy knows where our strengths and where our weakness lies. And we need God standing on our right hand to intercede for us and do our battle for us. And then in verse 6 it says, as we talk about we're weak, we are vulnerable at all seasons. Look in verse 6. The sun shall not smite thee by day, nor the moon by night. Well, now we know what heat stroke is, and we know what sunstroke is. And I imagine you that work outside, and we really don't have to have a job that works outside. You can just be outside doing chores, and next thing you know, you begin to get dizzy, and you can't, you know, blurred vision, and you feel like you're going to throw up, and you're about to have a heat stroke, and you've got to get into the house. You've got to get into some air. And by the way, don't drink cold water. Don't, that's the worst thing they say you can do when you're going through a heat stroke here. But I've never thought about this. Look in verse 6. The sun shall not smite thee by day, nor the moon by night. How can the moons smite us? Well, it's interesting here because I learned that the word lunatic comes from the word moon. And then I began to tie it together. When I worked at Southwestern State Hospital in the 70s, on the full moon, we had a terrible time with the residents. Amen? Full moon. Moon affects everything, doesn't it? They were moonstruck, if I could say it that way, right? And this is what the psalmist says here. And it makes sense. But God is able to keep us by day or by night. Amen? And so we are weary. He protects us when we are weak, verses 5 and 6. But he also is our keeper when we're wicked, verse 7. The Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. He shall preserve thy soul. God will keep us from the evil and the moral depravity of this world here. Evil people gloat. You know, if you notice ISIS, I don't know why our president calls them ISIL. I never heard that. ISIS, right? Islamic terrorist fundamental jihadist. Amen? Let's say it's just lay it out there, right? That's who they are. They're not after our way of life. They're after our life, right? And They do it very wicked people. They no telling what you see on the news that they do with the people that they capture, and especially Christians. And that's the least thing you hear on the news, right? That they are killing Christians, right? All over the world. And if they could get to you, they could kill you too as well, try to kill you as well. So he protects us from the wicked. Hezekiah faced a very wicked enemy. There was no more wicked people than the Assyrian army. And he feared what they would do if they came in and overtook Jerusalem. So this verse here, if you study the Hebrew a little bit, it's all, not only speaks of what the wicked can do to us, but it also speaks of our own wicked hearts. The flesh, I won't let you in for a secret now, the flesh is utterly depraved and capable of anything outside of Christ. Romans 7:18, we often say, well, how can he have done that? How can she have done that? Because the flesh is capable of anything. Romans 7:18 says, Paul said, for I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good, I find not. But thank God we can overcome by the Holy Spirit of God. Amen. God came and indwelt us. We were indwelt by the Holy Spirit of God, baptized into the body of Christ. We're immersed into spiritual union with Christ. We have the Holy Spirit living in us. It happened, as Brother Ray said this morning, every believer that confesses and believes in Jesus Christ, you were indwelt with the Holy Spirit of God at that very point. You don't have to wait 6 months to be indwelt. You don't have to wait 6 months to find out you're worthy of salvation. No, he enters you at the moment of salvation, the Bible speaks about. So we overcome by the Holy Spirit. Now, it's interesting that in the New Testament, everywhere the flesh is mentioned, the Holy Spirit of God is mentioned as well. Let me give you one. In Galatians 5:17, for the flesh lusteth against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh. These are contrary to one another, so that you cannot do the things that you would. And if you note a little closer look there at verse 7 in our text, the Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. He shall preserve thy soul. Now, this is Old Testament. This was even before the indwelling of the Holy Spirit of God at Pentecost and the doctrine of eternal security. What this is here, he said, I will preserve thy soul. This is the Old Testament eternal security right here in our text in verse 7. He will deliver us from the penalty of sin. He is in the process of delivering us from the power of sin. And one day he's going to preserve us from the presence of sin. He will deliver our soul to, complete right before the throne of the Lord Jesus Christ and God himself. So he is our helper when we are weary, when we are weak, when we are wicked, but also in verse 8, when we're wayward. Look in verse 8 again. The Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in from this time forth and even forevermore. So here was Hezekiah shut up in Jerusalem. There was no going in and no going out. But soon what he didn't know, that God would soon defeat the army of the Assyrians right at the gates of Jerusalem. And the gates would be open again. Now, the Jews, if you study the Jews, everywhere they went, they would take a portion of God's word with them, okay? And you know about how they did the word of God in their homes and in their businesses. Let me give you a little backdrop right here, a little background that'll help you show what this text is talking about, and preserving us going out and coming in. Devout Jews would keep a small metal cylinder fixed to the right-hand doorpost of their homes. And in that little metal cylinder, they would have a parchment of Deuteronomy 6, 4 through 9, and Deuteronomy 11, 13 to 21. And each time they would go out of their home or out of the gates of Jerusalem, they would touch that cylinder as they were passing by. And they would quote Psalms 121, verse 8, the Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in from this time forth, and even forevermore. So it puts them in mind of God's awareness of them, and he's alert to them, and he's protecting them, and it put them in mind of being holy and conducting themselves and always mindful of God here. So God is our sufficient helper. Amen? God is our king. The Lord is our king, and he is our keeper. Amen? What a comforting psalm. in the days that we look, not only when you look past the mountains to see the Creator, but also in the bleak days in which we live in. He will keep us in weariness. Grow weary? We all grow weary, don't we? And when you grow weak, He's your right hand. In your wickedness, He's there to help you, bring you to repentance and to obedience. And in our waywardness, as we go in and go out, how many of you keep a copy of the scriptures in your car or your truck? Just raise your hand. Okay? I got more Bibles than Carter got liver pills. And I think I carry two or three in each vehicle. But you know, I'll be going down the road and something will come to my mind. And I learned this week, my family taught me not to be on my phone when I'm driving. Okay? But I pull over side the road, open the Bible, and I read it, right? Or I write it down, right? So I can remember. Always mindful of the Word of God, going in and going out. Do you see this help that Hezekiah got right here? Folks, there's no need to be afraid. He is our King. There is nothing that will happen to us that He will not allow. Amen. Right? For His glory. And for our ultimate good of bringing us like Jesus Christ. And He is our helper. You can't get help anywhere else. You come to me, you ask me, but I'm a human, just like you are. Go to the Word of God and be ever mindful of the Word of God. Father, I pray this morning that as we meditate on these scriptures, that we apply them to our life, seal these truths to our heart.